001, Sunday night, Shara B'Tochen. These ladies had the unfortunate schuss to bump into me today, and I said, see you tonight. So they had to come. Here they are.
Guilt is an easy thing.
Okay. We're up to Shara B'Tochen Perek Shlishi. And it's the ninth shiur in Perek Shlishi. It's page Kuf Lamed Daled in the printing that we're using. And the last six lines on the page, V'ha'agdama HaShlishis, the third necessary internalization, we'll call it, in order to develop proper bitachon. The first one was the seven attributes of someone that is appropriate to have bitachon in. He has to be capable of helping you. He has to want to help you. He has to care enough to help you. He has to be capable of helping you. Although he has to be aware of what you need. All those things were just that it should make sense to have bitachon. And all those things are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two was to realize that Hashem is looking at you. And He's watching you. And He knows everything about you. And you can't fool Him. And He knows if you truly have bitachon or not. And so you can't fool Him. He knows what's in your innermost part, what's in your subconscious, what you want to sort of gloss over. So when you daven and you say Nafshenu Chiksol Hashem Ezreinu Mogineinu Hu, that we look to Hashem for our salvation, Kivishem Kotcho V'tachnu, so Hashem sort of knows if you're just mouthing words or if you really mean what you're saying. And it's interesting, we said last week, that should be a requirement of bitachon. So we said, what sense does that make? I mean, Hashem knows what I'm thinking. Why is that a requirement for bitachon? So we said that the Chedesh Lubavitch is very, very smart. And he knows that if you don't internalize that, you'll never get there. It's so easy to pay lip service to bitachon, because if you ask anybody in this room or in any room, any religious Jew, you ask him, or even really non-religious Jews, you say, do you believe in Hashem? Yeah. Is Hashem ein od milvado? Yeah. Can Hashem do whatever He wants? Yeah. Is Hashem? But then you say, oh my goodness, right? When it comes to parnasa or health or issues or problems or crises, and we have a problem coping. So you'll never get there. It's too easy to pay lip service to it. And that's why the Chavis Haldov is very, very choder, very, very deeply understands that a necessary requirement of bitachon, true bitachon, is to be aware that Hashem knows if you're faking or not. The third hakdama, which we're up to now, tonight, is sheyiftach al Hashem levado, that he trusts only in Hashem. What does that mean? It means, let's say you go to a doctor. So you go, you trust in Hashem. Hashem's going to heal you. But even if Hashem, doesn't pull through, but he's a very good doctor, or even if Hashem doesn't pull through and you need parnasa, so maybe your rich uncle will lend you money or give you a job. You have what to fall back on in case Hashem doesn't want to cooperate. We don't consciously think that way, but we subconsciously think that way. We have a fallback position if Hashem doesn't come through. So that's what he says. That's not going to work. You're not a Baal Bitochon. Sheyiftach al Hashem levado. You have to set yourself up. You have to realize that all of these, the boss and the rich uncle, and the doctor, and you have to realize that they're shluchim from Hashem, and only shluchim from Hashem. That's like one maslul, and Hashem's another maslul. But levado, b'meshu chayav liftoach olav, he throws that in, that phrase, things that you have to have bitachon in Hashem. What does he mean? Because when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to your developing your own character, then indeed, you're not supposed to have bitachon in Hashem only. Hashem says to you, when I'm giving you the reins, you have bechira, you have to be work on your midos, you have to have bechira, you have to decide to do the right thing, you have to decide what you're going to do, how you're going to live, how you're going to act, how you're going to treat others, how you're going to relate to Hashem. So that's, in Ruchniyustika matters, he will develop this much more at length in later Prakim, but in Ruchniyustika matters, he doesn't want you to have bitachon. Or even if you have bitachon, you have bitachon, then Hashem will physically allow you, let's say, to, you want to daven, bitachon that Hashem will allow you to do it, but the decision to do it, the bechira to do it, that's you. There is shituf in ruchniyustika matters. That's why he throws in this phrase, b'meshehu chayav liftoach alav, not mitzvahs, but in things, the unimportant things in life, like health and parnasa and children, and our mental health, and our attitude, our feelings, our happiness. That is only Hashem. And you have to make sure you're not also, you're not also soymech on your refrigerator. So you won't make a shutuf, anything else. The yiftach Allah, the lechel menan evram. Like I said, you have Hashem and you have a fallback position. The rich uncle, the paycheck that's coming, the bank, you have money in the bank. So you ask Hashem for parnasa and he should help you. But, even if he doesn't want to listen to me because I'm a chote and I have the money in the bank. Ki oz yafsid bitchonu al Hashem. That's not true bitachon. Even Shishitif imuzulaso. That's Shituf. That's like Avodah Zorah. What do you think? The old day Avodah Zorah in the time of Nach, they davened, and if they were men, they put on tefillin, and they gave stoffa, and they were over Avodah Zorah. They made Shituf. They said, Hashem either doesn't care, or he's too high, or maybe Hashem's angry at me, so there's this Avodah Zorah. This Avodah Zorah is in charge of period of Arivya, or this Avodah Zarah is in charge of Parnasa. So, it's akin to Avodah Zarah.
I'm sorry, could I just talk about the Avodah Zarah thing? I didn't follow it.
The people, when we learn in Nach that Avodah Zarah was rampant in Klal Yisrael, and it was part of life, it doesn't mean the person converted to a different religion. It's not like nowadays you say the person converted to Buddhism, chas v'shalom, or whatever. When Avodah Zarah was rampant in the Jewish people, they remained Jews. They put on tefillin every morning, they kept Shabbos, they worshipped Hashem, and they also worshipped Avodah Zarah. What were they doing? They felt that these deities with a small d had power. This one is the god of Parnasa, and this one is the god of fertility, and this one is the god of happiness, and this one is the god of children. And they would worship it because, like I said, like a fallback position. In case Hashem is too busy now, he's watching over the whole universe, he doesn't have time for little old me, so let me have to cover my bases. So they worship the Avodah Zarah. That's called Shituf. So if we say, please Hashem Rafeinu, Hashem B'nei Rafe, but I have a very good doctor also, so that's I won't call it Avodah Zarah, but conceptually, that's what we're doing. We're saying that we're not really... What?
We can't just be sick and say, okay, God, do your thing, I'm not going to a doctor.
He doesn't want us to say that. You're very right. He doesn't want us to say we don't go to a doctor, but our attitude towards the doctor, we have to work on it, that we should see the doctor as Hashem's shliach, because Hashem doesn't want to perform nisim, Hashem doesn't want us to work with nisim. So the truth is the Ramban holds, you shouldn't be going to the doctor if you're on a very high madrega. That's the Ramban's shita. And it's not a nes, Hashem will cure you. That every physical ailment is a direct result of a spiritual malady, of a spiritual problem that affects whatever aver, whatever in your body is not working properly, there's a spiritual root to it.
Is it consistent for everybody?
This is the that's a very good question. Let me first say over, and then I'll answer your question. I'll address your point. The Ramban says, don't go to doctors. The ideal, we'll talk about the ideal. The ideal is not to go to a doctor. Famous Ramban in Chumash. I said last week, Ramban was a doctor. Ramban says, don't go to doctors. Ideally, you shouldn't go to doctors. The Rambam says, what? If a person's hungry, he eats food. If he's thirsty, he drinks water. So if he's sick, he goes to a doctor. What's the difference? That's the Rambam. Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon. The Ramban, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, famous Ramban, says, ideally, you shouldn't go to doctors. There's a Michtam Eliyahu, which I happen to have here. There's a Michta Melio, I don't even know what Chelik it's in, look at that. But it's in page 170. I think, I forgot what Chelik it was in. Anyway, he brings down the Ramban, page 170. The name of the piece is Verapo Yerape. The Ramban in Parshas Bechukosai says a famous statement, Uma Chelik Lerofim, Bebeis Ose Rotzen Hashem. What do you go to a doctor for? You do tshuva, and you go to a Novi. Vatelech Lidrosh Hashem. Rivka had a rough pregnancy, so she went to the Beis Hashem to ask, well, what's going on? What am I doing wrong? So the Rambam argues, the Rambam in Psochim, the Rambam says, what I just told you, you're hungry, you're thirsty, so you're sick, you take medicine. What's the difference? So the Rav Dessler starts off saying, we would be tempted to say there's a machlokas here. I mean, it almost sounds explicitly like there's a machlokas here. But then he delves into it. I don't think, you won't learn Rav Dessler now, that's what we're learning, although it's not Rav Dessler. But he really says, it's addressing different levels. It's addressing different people. It's addressing, it's addressing different madregas. That's what he says. The madrega ha'elyona, the ultimate, the ideal, people who are really beyond our comprehension. I don't know if we could even aspire to it. It's something beyond our comprehension even. But ultimately, if everything is b'hashgacha, and the sickness is not... The Rambam is not really compellingly logical. Right? There's a big difference between being hungry and eating food and being sick and taking medicine. Hunger is the way the body works. Hashem created a human being, and hunger is part of how Hashem made the person function. Right? Sickness is not really something's wrong with the body. Right? Something's wrong with the body. So, the Rambam is a little funny. Like, we should really not be understanding the Rambam. What's the comparison? So that's, I don't know if that's what Rav Dessler was coming from there, but that's why I think, so the Rambam is not perfectly logical. So therefore, the Rambam is also recognizing that you're taking a step down, you're backing off from, if the body's not functioning properly, so really, this is where Abdesla's point is. The Rambam is modeh to the Ramban. There's really no machlokas. On the highest level of what a person could theoretically aspire to, a tzadik gomor. So yeah, if the body's not functioning properly, so you ask Hashem, why not? I must be doing something wrong. It's symptomatic of a spiritual malady because it's a malfunction. It's not the way Hashem created the body. So it's a malfunction. A malfunction has to come as a breakdown. But a physical breakdown has a spiritual reason behind it. Because Hashem is directing it. So you have to check out why it's happening. But the Rambam is talking, Rav Dessler says, to normal people. To normal people. To normal people, they can't be on that level of getting to the spiritual root of the physical malady. So to them, being sick is like being hungry. That's what Avdesla says in this piece. Really, you could learn it. We could discuss it even if you want, but not at this year. I'll tell you where it is. I forgot what Chelik, you know, Mechtamiliyo, familiar Sefer. It's page 170 till 175. It's a very nice piece, and really, I don't want to cover this all about this, not Radesla.
No, I just wanted to ask that book of cures that they used to have.
That's what he talks about. That's the context. That's where the Rambam's coming from. The Ramban says, the Rambam says the book of cures was Avodah Zorah tinted. And that's why it was hidden away. But he wouldn't have hid away a regular, you know, medical treatise. He would not have hidden away. It was Avodah Zorah tinted. It's on that Mishnah that the Rambam says what I just said. He says that if you're hungry, you take food. If you're sick, you take medicine. What's the difference?
My question is, if the person today wanted to say, look, this is what's happening, how can I find out what the spiritual ramification is?
Oh, he should do that, but he should better take his medicine too. That's the point. He should certainly say to himself, why is this happening to me? He should, but according to Rav Dessler, at least, I would say, nowadays, we should also take medicine. We shouldn't look at it as the shituf, as what the Chayav HaSalvavus is talking about. In other words, you're very right that we should try to do that. But the Rambam's saying, so that's what Rav Dessler's point is, that the Rambam is not saying there's no spiritual root to the malfunction, and it's just like being hungry. To which I'm adding, because it's not like that. It's just not like that. That's a malfunction of the body. Something's wrong. So why did something go wrong? There's a reason. Hashem made the body to function properly.
But some people are made with bodies who don't function properly.
That's not what the Rambam's talking about. They're not sick. You know, or so why did Hashem and Hanami, I guess, if someone is born, if it's clearly not the result of a spiritual malady, then it's just an asayah they have. The people are born with one hand. People are born with all sorts of issues. So
every time an adult or a child gets a cold or strep or pneumonia, there's a spiritual reason behind that?
You could take comfort in the Mechtam Elio that says we don't have to deal with it on the Ramban's level. The Ramban's level is not for us.
Can I go back to the Elizabeth
Yeah.
Where's the line between fallbacks between?
Well, that's what we're learning Chavis Al Lovers for. That's why we're learning Chavis Al Lovers.
Okay.
We're gonna in later chapters he'll be very, very specific and clear what you're supposed to do. Here, what's clear is that you're never supposed to look at your hishtadlus as a fallback position. That's not what hishtadlus is. Hishtadlus is the way Hashem wants us to function. He wants us to function in this world that He created. But we always have to remember that He's empowering everything. He's empowering the doctor. He's empowering the bank to have my money. If Hashem would withdraw, pardon the pun, if Hashem would withdraw His will, you know, say, but I mean, I have $1 million in the bank. I don't need Hashem. So, you know, oh, that sounds terrible. But we think that way. Right? What can go wrong? Yeah, what can go wrong? There's plenty of people that can tell you what can go wrong. And the truth is, we're all guilty of this. I'll give you one simple example that everyone's guilty of. And and you say, well, come on, Rabbi Mlinowitz, I'll tell you, Rabbi Mlinowitz. Okay? Person's sick. He has a choice of two doctors. One's the best doctor, one's the second best doctor. Who's the best doctor in Israel to treat this eye disease? This guy in Hadassah Ein Kerem. He's the top. What about Shari Tzedek? Yeah, he's very good, but he's the second best. Everyone recognizes that guy is the best. Which doctor are you going to take?
I'm a bad person to ask because I went to one of the best years ago.
Everybody goes to the best.
I would never go back. He and I, as doctors, didn't click.
But you understand my point. The Jewish people, Baruch Hashem, I don't know why, they have these medical referral services, and everybody wants the best doctor.
But the best is not always the best for everybody.
But that's not my point now. That's okay. Also true, and that's a separate point. Okay. I'm talking about Shar HaBitachon now. That we pay lip service, but people search out the best doctor. Right? My son had, what did he have? A hernia. You go to any dopey doctor can do a hernia operation, right? No, I had a call up, Benny Fisher. Which doctor should I go to? It's inexcusable. We're all guilty of not really, so you'll say, but that's part of his shtadlus to go to the best doctor. No, it's not. What's wrong with the second best doctor? Second best doctor is not good enough. What's wrong with the third best doctor? What's wrong with the doctor that passed all his exams and he's competent? What do we need the best for? There's no answer. We're all guilty. It's very hard. Although this is not simple. We're sitting here learning in theory and it sounds so poshut and it's like boring. And we know Ein Od Milvado and we know Hashem runs the world. But, you know, tell somebody to work a half hour less and Hashem will still send Parnasa and whose Hishtadlus is... Is there a difference between a 7.5 hour day and an 8 hour day? Why do people take out full page ads, advertisements? Let them take out a half a page ad. Is a half a page ad so terrible? No, they'll take out a full page ad. They'll pay more money. What are you wasting? If I tell them, what are you wasting money for? Hashem will send you Parnasa if you take out a half a page ad. What do you have to take out a full page ad for? Come on. And that's what they'll answer me. And I'll take out a full page ad. Or a half a page yet, not a quarter page yet. So good, I can hear. Once you hit an eighth of a page, you'll say, well, maybe people won't notice it. So my hishtadlus is, you know, eighth. I can hear at some point you have a right to say, this is what normal hishtadlus requires. I have one person in the shul, like I say his name, he'll be embarrassed. I'm going to say, good, nice. He asked me how much of an eighth he should take. I pass him the half a page, not even a quarter page. I pass him the quarter page. You're competing with the other three things on the page. I can see you want to do your. I said you want to be on the high madrega. Take an eighth of a page. If you want to be on a high madrega. Don't take any. Who does you have to advertise? Be samechon word of mouth. What do you have to advertise for? So he wasn't holding there, but within his realm of bitachon, he did come and ask me, which is like one in a million. Like, who asks such shilas? How much of an eighth he should take out? I told him to take half a page.
And what did
he do? I threw him out of the shul if he wouldn't listen to me. No. I didn't check on him. But anybody that would ask such a question is already going to listen to me. He's not going to listen to me. He's not going to ask the question. I'm 100% sure he took out half a page. I wouldn't be surprised if he took out a quarter page. That's the kind of person he was. But I passed him half a page. But we're all guilty. We all go to the best doctor. I tell someone, don't work a 9 hour day. Tell your boss from now on you're working 8 hours. Are you crazy? So if he'll get fired because the job requirement is 9 hours, of course you have to work 9 hours. That's the job requirement. But if there's flexibility, I'm not here to knock anyone. We're all guilty. I'm here to say that the Chayus Halvavus is not simple. When we learn it, it sounds so, but of course, like, and it's not, it's hard. Or else Benny Fisher wouldn't be in business, right? Right? Or else, what's the name, when you call up Fryer, they wouldn't be in business. Okay, I'm not talking about when you call them up to get a good diagnostician. I'm talking about we call them up to say, you know, what's the best doctor to... My son just broke his hand. He didn't. I mean, we thought he did. So he was running around. So we thought it was broken. We went to Tarim this Friday morning. And so we thought it was broken. So I called up people. I said, you know, if he needs a kiosk, is it okay to set it in Tehran? So there, I was afraid. I don't know what doctor's going to see him in Tehran. Some incompetent, you know, intern that didn't pass his exams yet. I don't know. So they said it's okay. They can set it in Tehran. They know how to set a kiosk there. So then Hashem said it was only sprained, not broken. This is the end of the story. So that's it. But we're guilty. But it's a madrega. It's bitachon. It's a never-ending battle. We have to work on it. And this is really, you know, this is my personal pet peeve, call it, that we're all guilty of. Everybody wants the best actor. Kachel. You're saying the best actor is not always the best. Good. So, do you admit that people search for the best actor?
Well, in Israel, it's harder. If you go to the Kupat, you can only go to the best that's in your Kupat. Or at least competent.
Competent is what you should search for.
So sometimes you just don't know. So it's Kedai to call Benny Fish and say, I just want to know if
you're competent. Okay, so I'm not talking about that. Right. If you say I'm assessing the sociological reality wrong, okay, I admit I'm wrong. Course you have to search out. That's my point. Why do we need more than competent? But go to somebody and say...
what the long-term ramifications are.
Okay. These are all excuses.
But if a child breaks joint, affect the growth plate, and you go to somebody who's half more practice and somewhat competent...
Okay, good. Okay, you're Malamit Chusan Klal Yisrael, you're wonderful. You're saying everybody is happy as long as they're satisfied that it's competent. No one looks for more.
No, but...
Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. Okay. I'm more than happy to be wrong. I'm not the Satan here looking to condemn. I want to point out how hard true bitachon is. How easy it is to pay lip service. How easy it is, you know, we said, Hashem sends Parnasa, work 7 hours instead of 8. No way. Close one day a week. What are you, crazy? So if it's rational and you say, if I close one day a week, I'll lose customers because customers are going to come to the store on Tuesday and they're going to find me closed. And just because I put up a sign, closed Tuesdays, they're going to go to a different store. I hear, if that's true, and a chanami. But more often, it's not true, but we're scared. We're scared. That's my whole point.
Can I go back to something that I've said? Yeah. Another question. You said, I'm assuming, saying that regarding major illnesses, if there is a spiritual reason behind it, someone gets a specific cancer, is it the same spiritual ramification behind it for everybody that gets that specific ailment?
I don't know. I would imagine not.
And how do you know if it's something you did or if it's a punishment you're getting from a previous generation?
Whoa. What do you mean from a previous generation? A reincarnation?
No. But we've been told that sometimes we're sent back to finish something. The neshama comes back to finish something. Or sometimes the punishment... When something happens in the neshama, punishment is not something you directly did. A parent or a grandparent could have. How do you know?
You don't know. And one of the tzoros we have, because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, is that there's no more Nevuah, there's no more Navi. And it used to be that you looked up in the yellow pages your local Navi. I'm not joking. And you used to go to the Navi and ask him your question. And the Navi would answer you. And maybe he would charge a fee. Maybe he'd look for a Navi that didn't charge a fee. I don't know. And that's one of the tzoros we live in. It's one of the manifestations. You know, if you don't feel the lack of a korban, because there's no Beis HaMikdash, but we all feel the lack of Nevi'im, because we don't know why things happen. And we look, and we search, and we ask our Gedolim, and we ask the Rabbanim, and we're looking, and nobody really knows. Everybody's just making either an educated guess, or a semi-educated guess, or a non-educated guess, or they're throwing up their hands and they're saying they don't know. That's the lack of Nevuah. There's no way. Now, there's stories. You want stories? Yeah, I went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and I said, why did I break my hand? And he said, because I eat cholavakum. I don't know. I'm a litvish person. I don't, you know, if a Chaim Kanievsky knows, so fine, go to him. Maybe he knows. I would encourage you to go to a Chaim Kanievsky. Maybe he knows. If he has a Recha Kodesh, fine. No problem with that. Do you want to know some rules of thumb what you should do? Because Hashem doesn't do things. See, that what you can feel confident in is that Hashem is not a tyrant, and he doesn't play games with people, and he's not going to do something to you that you're just going to be bewildered about, and you're not going to be able to connect to it, and so you're going to do something. You don't have to know exactly what. We don't have a novi, we don't know exactly what. But on the other hand, Hashem is not, you know, he's not this vicious, wicked, mean tyrant that's just going to do something to you, and like you have no way of stopping it because of something your great grandmother did. Come on, that's not Judaism. Hashem doesn't do that to us. So we do. We try. You can go to a, please, I'm sorry, man. You can go to a rub and you can figure out, or you just in general you say, I'm going to daven better, or I'm going to have more bitachon, or I'm going to talk less lashon hara. This is what the average person could do. You know, we try to tighten up the screws. Maybe our screws got looser. Maybe we're making brachos without kavana. Maybe we're saying Hashem's name hundreds of tens of times a day, and we're just mouthing the word and we're not thinking. You're supposed to have kavana when you say Hashem's name. We're not perfect, so we say, "This is happening to me. Let me become better." Sometimes a rav will be able to stand up and say, "You know, to me, there's a logical connection between the two things." I spoke after Gush Katif in the shul. I said, that's why Hashem does things, Mida Keneged Mida. Right? You have heard of that phrase, Mida Keneged Mida. And the Svarim say, the reason he does things, Mida Keneged Mida, Chaim Shmuel Levitt says it, it's not me. I mean, it's logical also. Hashem does things, Mida Keneged Mida, because to let us figure out why it's happening. So, if it's happening due to, people don't agree with me. But to my mind, if people are getting killed because missiles are being fired from Gush Katif, like, maybe it has something to do with the fact that we gave Gush Katif to the Arabs, maybe? Mayor Kahana. What?
That's not supernatural. That's
Hashem doesn't do supernatural. You don't need a Navi for that. Mayor Kahana, Olav HaShalom, used to give the following marshal. He says, a guy was put in jail for stealing. Right? So he's in jail, and he decides he's going to do tshuva. And he starts to put on tefillin every day. Then he gets out of jail, and he steals again. I catch him, he goes back to jail. He does tshuva, he starts eating only kosher. He gets out of jail, he steals. They catch him, he goes back to jail. He goes, okay, you know, and he starts giving tzedakah. And you know, and this, you know, and he keeps stealing. You know, what's the point of the story? You know, they're putting you in jail for stealing. You know, like, wake up! All these things are great, but they're not addressing what's happening. So sometimes it is clear. If it's not clear, you don't. Sometimes it is clear, and that's why Hashem functions with Mida Keneged Mida. Because Mida Keneged Mida means it's clear. It's a way of you to figure out why it's happening. If you can't figure out why it's happening, don't worry. It means you're not meant to. And it's beyond you. And Hashem is just working on a different level. Hashem's not trying to fool you. Hashem's not going to... Hashem's not playing 20 questions with you. If you can't figure it out, and you honestly try... Don't worry about it. So then, a general tightening is what I advise people. Daven with more kavana, maybe give a little more tzedakah, maybe have more bitachon. If you come to Rav Milner with the Sunday night shiur, who knows? You never know what'll do the trick. I can have protection, maybe. I can. Don't worry. If you can't figure it out, it means you're not meant to. And Hashem has other reasons. Maybe it's because of something your great grandmother did. You know? So to you, it's a nisayon. Did I answer your question?
I found the best approach is what can I learn from this?
Yeah, if you can. If you can. Yeah, someone gets fired from his job, doesn't have parnasa. You know, he comes to, I don't know. We say, it's because you don't give enough tzedakah. I don't know. I'll send him to Chaim Kanievsky, maybe he knows. Get a different rabbi. I say right away, you know, you want someone that's going to figure out why everything's happening to you, you're going to have to get a different rabbi. I'm not smart enough, or I'm not a Navi. I don't know. But I do know that, you know, Hashem does things, not arbitrarily. So either you, in your heart of hearts, know you've been doing something wrong, and this is a slap in the face, and I don't want to know about it, you know, but you know. Or, it's a general wake-up call to look at Shraga. I love using Shraga as an example. Right? Why is this happening? Why? He's tormenting himself for the last 2 years. Why is this happening? And he can't figure it out. And I can't figure it out. We can't figure it out. But he's become a different person. Next time you see Shraga, ask him if he's happy the whole story happened. He's going to say yes. He's not going to, okay, so now, you know, you're not going to say he's happy. But, you know, he's changed. He's going to say.
But in his case, who's learned more of a lesson? Him or who paid a higher price in this case? Him or his family?
His family also changed. They also took it the right way. I'm not talking about the children now. Children are children. And it's,
yeah, but they're affected by it.
So what is your point?
Anytime children
suffer, you know, we can talk about now the whole world. Why children suffer? Why do some children die at birth? You know, we're not going to solve the universe's problems here tonight.
I'm not saying children mentioned what's happened, but
I'm using him as an example that something terrible happened, and even though he couldn't connect to why, but he took it as a general wake-up call, and he went into and he did a general, and he made a fantastic tune-up. You know, you take a car in for a tune-up. I don't know if they do that in Israel. They take it in for tune-ups, mm-hmm. And it's like a different car. It's like a different car, and he wouldn't have gone in for, you know, and you can drive a car without a tune-up for years. But he took it in for a tune-up. And now he looks back and he says, my goodness, I'm sort of happy this happened. I'm a different person now.
Can that sort of attitude in Shemaim kind of buy you...
What do you mean a reprieve? So what? A person should always daven and tell Hashem, you know what? I'm going to get the tune-up without anything bad happening to me. That's what you have to do. You have to chaperein. That's why we have every Shabbos, and we have Yom Tov, and we have Rosh Chodesh. We're supposed to have Erev Rosh Chodesh and Kippur Katan. Hashem gives us ample opportunities to wake up. And the reason sorrows happen to people, you know, we look at it, oh, Hashem is so mean. But the reason sorrows happen to people is because we don't. We fall into a rut. When's the last time the present company accepted? Whoever comes to my shiur at Tzaddikim. But when's the last time people thought about... I could stand up in my shul. My shul is full of wonderful people. Really, tremendous people. I love... I don't like being a rut, but I like my shul. Wonderful people. When's the last time anybody was inspired by Shabbos? When's the last time anybody by Havdalah felt, I gained so much from this Shabbos, I'm closer to Hashem, I gained from Shabbos, I said l'chunaranel l'chadodi, I sang Zmiris by the table, I just connected to the whole idea of what Shabbos, Okay, so you'll tell me everybody does but me. Okay, maybe. But that's my point. Hashem gives us plenty of chances. We just, Rosh Chodesh, we just went through, right? Zman Kapor L'chol Toldosam. Rosh Chodesh, you're supposed to be introspective. Erev Rosh Chodesh, Yom Kippur Katan. I can't get a minyan in the shul. 130 members, I can't get 10 people that want to daven Yom Kippur Katan. It's a time for introspection. Once a month, you're supposed to be introspective. Shabbos. There's so many sign points, so many stop signs along the way. Yield signs, stop signs, yellow lights. And we don't take advantage of it. So Hashem says, okay, I can let you live your life and then be judged upstairs. But if you're lucky, he'll give you a kick in the pants or in the dress. He'll give you a kick. If you're lucky, that's right, you know.
But you also said at the beginning that you can't work on your ruchnias if there's something wrong with your gashmias.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, in one of your first years. Like, you need your gashmias to
well,
be okay.
Yeah, well, of course. In a certain sense. If a person's sick and they're running
and
around to doctors, it's very
problems.
Hard.
Most people have problems in their gashmias. I mean, most people have some kind of...
It's an asoyon, like she's
right.
Like the so lady said. It's an asoyon.
So it's a vicious circle because then that's going to take away.
Hashem, you can break out of the circle. A person has bechira. Hashem never messes a person up. Ain Hakadosh Baruch Hu ba betrunya im abrios. Hakadosh Baruch Hu's not here to mess us up. What you should
rise above those difficulties.
Yeah, it's an asoyon, and you have the ability to. Or Hashem wouldn't have done it to you. Hashem doesn't do that to people.
You should put your worries on side and say this is
how you I can't sit here and pontificate how you should deal with it. Each person has their own nisyonos, each person has their own pekel, each person has their own emotional and psychological makeup, and each person will deal with things differently. I can't make a general rule and say just put it on the side. I can't do that. I am supposed to be, maybe I'm a failure. Could be. I'm supposed to be responsible for whoever pays membership dues to pay tefillah. Really? It sounds funny, but that's what I'm responsible for. The fact that only 7 or 8 people in the shul talk to me and, you know, discuss things with me, that's, you know, that's very, I'm lucky. What would I do if 120 people talked to me? First of all, I wouldn't know what to tell them. Second of all, I wouldn't have any time for myself. So I'm lucky. Only 7 people talk to me. 8 people. But yeah, that's what a rabbi is supposed to be for. You know, again, I'm a Litvish person. So you're supposed to figure it out for yourself. But if you can't, then you know. I get into trouble whenever I say that. People don't like when I say that. So I'll say it again. You're supposed to figure it out yourself. A Hasidish person. They say, hey, go to the Rebbe. I'm Litvish. I'm the real Litvish. Don't go. Figure it out yourself. Come on. But, okay, you have a Rav. I'm supposed to help you. You can't make a rule. Every person's different. Every person has nisyonos. One of the main things I learned from becoming a rabbi, and I sort of sensed it before, but I didn't know it until I became a rabbi. Every person has a peckle of problems. Mm-hmm. Every single person has a peckle of problems. It's amazing. It's amazing. No?
He does.
He sent you the problems. He didn't. Right. He sent you the problems. No. He sent you the exact problem that your solving it will perfect your soul.
Oh.
He doesn't just. He's not playing cards. I mean, he is playing cards, and he deals you the cards that are perfect for you. He made your soul, and he sent you down to this world to be Masakin, as you said, and you're given the problems that overcoming those problems will perfect your soul. That I can say
what you should be looking
absolutely.
You should be looking
I do tell that. Someone called me up the other day, and I told you, I said, you know, he says, should he, he comes late to shul and he leaves early. And he wants to start working on it. And he's afraid to burn the candle at both ends. So which should he start with? Coming on time or staying till the end? He says he can't do both. So I said to him, you have to look into your own soul. And what is a more major character flaw? Laziness or that you're nervous, that you can't sit still, that you're always people are always anticipating the future. You never know. People don't want to live in the present. They say, I'll start my diet tomorrow, right? And I'll be good after Shabbos, or I'll be good after Rosh Hashanah, or after the semester, or when I finish this page, or next week when my husband comes back from America, or when he goes to America. We're always projecting into the future when life is going to start. Think about it. Live in the present. Life started right now. 10:01 in 5 seconds. So I told the person, what's your main character flaw? If it's laziness, then work on coming to shul on time. If it's this, you can never live in the present, you're always anticipating and you're always running off to the next thing, then work on that. Stay in shul till it's over. Don't leave early. Now you want to know what he did. I don't know. He didn't report back to me. But you understand my point. My point was that, yeah, you have to work on yourself. And Hashem sends you, and now Hashem sends you this, now I'll tell you, bigger yourself, now married. Hashem sends you the spouse.